Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt. Put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave?" God bless you, and God bless this republic.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Don't have a clue.
flock of a tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global plantation, calling for a revolution, calling for it now. It's time to save our constitution while we still got gas and guns in our hands, calling for a revolution, calling for it now. It's time to save our constitution while we still got the guns in our hands. Good evening and welcome to the Roundtable Group with your hosts Sean Gruber and Jim Dunzing here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. David Hart may or may not be joining us from his undisclosed location deep behind enemy lines. Sean, it is midnight in Byzantium, D.C. Do you have any idea what your government is doing?
I have a feeling that they might be fucking chickens.
Call in 347-324-3704 if you agree with Sean, or if you disagree, give us your alternative hypothesis.
I got this text from my brother-in-law who has chickens, and there was something about chickens in there, and I don't know if he was doing the chickens or if the government was doing the chickens.
You heard it here first.
Somebody's doing chickens.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Somebody's effing chickens.
I want to go first to some audio. We're going to have, in this first hour here, we're going to cover this NSA leak and the ins and outs of it and the interview we have here of the guy who leaked all this information about the PRISM program. In the second hour, we're going to discuss, hopefully with a call-in guest, recent events outside of Metro's little palace there on MLK and Alta, when they tried to clear the sidewalk in front of their office where some people were protesting abuses of power within that organization.
Agency. I define it differently. Organization has respect. Agency is just an agent of the state. I'm out there already. Go back to what you were saying.
All right. And in the third hour, more of your phone calls, more news on just about everything. Breaking this, Alex Jones, I haven't heard the interview yet, I've just seen the headline, made an ass of himself on BBC, one of the big news programs on BBC, the major 24-hour news network in Britain, apparently embarrassing himself on Piers Morgan wasn't enough for Alex. He had to go do it in Britain. Now, we should mention a couple of events this week. The attack on the USS Liberty, June 8th, 19-something or other.
75 years ago by Israel?
It was by Israel, yeah. I don't think it was quite 75 years ago. But
75 is all relative.
Israel bombed an American ship, and the goal was to blame that bombing on Egypt and to get America involved in the war with Egypt. And Israel, Johnson, who ducked several hundred yards before the first shot was fired in Daley Plaza, he is quoted as saying, he's now president by this time, that he wants to see that goddamn ship at the bottom of the ocean, meaning the USS Liberty with all those American servicemen at the bottom of the ocean, because that would give him the political cover he needed to invade the Middle East like they wanted way back then. They are so far behind schedule, and more people are coming to realize what's going on. And part of that is this NSA guy here. Let's play this interview from a former, and I think this is one of the few possibly former CIA agents, is the one who outs the program.
I thought he was a contractor for the NSA. was actually a private contractor that worked for the NSA. Now, I'm not certain of that. That's what I heard.
I think he worked for a company most recently that was a contractor for them. But all of those companies that are contractors for the defense. Exactly. It's a nice place to put all of your former agents or your guys with military experience who were off the books, off the record, who were intelligence. When they retire from that career, they can then go and do an intelligence-related job. Again, not officially with any organization.
All the easier to CIA.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
So let's play here the interview from Snowden. He is now in Hong Kong. By the way, the other event we're going to discuss is the Bilderberg meeting, which is happening, I think, as we speak, or the last day or two. And at the same time, Obama, De Mombasa, and the Chinese leader are meeting at some big California estate together at the same time, teleconferencing into Bilderberg, while Chinese ships are encircling literally off the California coast, are basically blockading the American coast, similar to how the American ships are involved in the Chinese region. But here's the interview from Snowden about why he released this information about the NSA spy program when he did. Here we go. We'll be right back here in the Roundtable Group on Freedomizer Radio.
My name is Ed Snowden. I'm 29 years old. I work for Booz Allen Hamilton as an infrastructure analyst for NSA in Hawaii.
What are some of the positions that you held previously within the intelligence community?
I've been a systems engineer, systems administrator, senior advisor for the Central Intelligence Agency, solutions consultant, and a telecommunications information systems officer.
One of the things people are going to be most interested in trying to understand who you are and what you're thinking is there came some point in time when you crossed this line of thinking about being a whistleblower to making the choice to actually become a whistleblower. Walk people through that decision-making process.
When you're in positions of privileged access, like a systems administrator for these sort of intelligence community agencies, you're exposed to a lot more information on a broader scale than the average employee. And because of that, you see things that may be disturbing, but over the course of a normal person's career, you'd only see one or two of these instances. When you see everything, you see them on a more frequent basis, and you recognize that some of these things are actually abuses. And when you talk to people about them in a place like this, where this is the normal state of business, people tend not to take them very seriously and, you know, move on from them. But over time, that awareness of wrongdoing sort of builds up, and you feel compelled to talk about it. And the more you talk about it, the more you're ignored, the more you're told it's not a problem, until eventually you realize that these things need to be determined by the public, not by somebody who was simply hired by the government.
Talk a little bit about how the American surveillance state actually functions. Does it target the actions of Americans?
NSA and the intelligence community in general is focused on getting intelligence wherever it can, by any means possible, that it believes on the grounds of sort of a self-certification that they serve the national interest. Originally, we saw that focus very narrowly tailored as foreign intelligence gathered overseas. Now, increasingly, we see that it's happening domestically. And to do that, the NSA specifically targets the communications of everyone. It ingests them by default. It collects them in its system, and it filters them, and it analyzes them, and it measures them, and it stores them for periods of time, simply because that's the easiest, most efficient, and most valuable way to achieve these ends. So while they may be intending to target someone associated with a foreign government or someone that they suspect of terrorism, they're collecting your communications to do so. Any analyst at any time can target anyone, any selector anywhere. Where those communications will be picked up depends on the range of the sensor networks and the authorities that that analyst is empowered with. Not all analysts have the ability to target everything, but I, sitting at my desk, certainly have the authorities to wiretap anyone, from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
One of the extraordinary parts about this episode is that usually whistleblowers do what they do anonymously and take steps to remain anonymous for as long as they can, which they hope often is forever. You, on the other hand, have decided to do the opposite, which is to declare yourself openly as the person behind these disclosures. Why did you choose to do that?
I think that the public is owed an explanation of the motivations behind the people who make these disclosures that are outside of the democratic model. When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy. And if you do that in secret consistently, you know, as the government does when it wants to benefit from a secret action that it took, it'll kind of give its officials a mandate to go, hey, you know, tell the press about this thing and that thing, so the public is on our side. But they rarely, if ever, do that when an abuse occurs. That falls to individual citizens, but they're typically maligned. You know, it becomes a thing of these people are against the country, they're against the government, but I'm not. I'm no different from anybody else. I don't have special skills. I'm just another guy who sits there day to day in the office, watches what's happening, and goes, this is something that's not our place to decide. The public needs to decide whether these programs and policies are right or wrong. And I'm willing to go on the record to defend the authenticity of them and say, I didn't change these. I didn't modify the story. This is the truth. This is what's happening. You should decide whether we need to be doing this.
Have you given thought to what it is that the U.S. government's response to your conduct is in terms of what they might say about you, how they might try to depict you, what they might try to do to you?
Yeah, I could be, you know, rendered by the CIA. I could have people come after me or any of their third-party partners. You know, they work closely with a number of other nations. Or, you know, they could pay off the triads or, you know, any of their agents or assets. We've got a CIA station just up the road in the consulate here in Hong Kong, and I'm sure they're going to be very busy for the next week. And that's a fear I'll live under for the rest of my life, however long that happens to be. You can't come forward against the world's most powerful intelligence agencies and be completely free from risk, because they're such powerful adversaries that no one can meaningfully oppose them. If they want to get you, they'll get you in time. But at the same time, you have to make a determination about what it is that's important to you. And if living unfreely but comfortably is something you're willing to accept, and I think many of us are, it's the human nature, you can get up every day, you can go to work, you can collect your large paycheck for relatively little work against the public interest and go to sleep at night after watching your shows. But if you realize that that's the world that you helped create, and it's going to get worse with the next generation and the next generation who extend the capabilities of this sort of architecture of oppression, you realize that you might be willing to accept any risk, and it doesn't matter what the outcome is, so long as the public gets to make their own decisions about how that's applied.
Why should people care about surveillance?
Because even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded, and the storage capability of these systems increases every year consistently by orders of magnitude, to where it's getting to the point you don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call, and then they can use the system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made, every friend you've ever discussed something with, and attack you on that basis to sort of derive suspicion from an innocent life and paint anyone in the context of a wrongdoer.
We are currently sitting in a room in Hong Kong, which is where we are because you've traveled here. Talk a little bit about why it is that you came here. And specifically, there are going to be people who will speculate that what you really intend to do is to defect to the country that many see as the number one rival of the United States, which is China, and that what you're really doing is essentially seeking to aid an enemy of the United States with which you intend to seek asylum. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So there's a couple assertions in those arguments that are sort of embedded in the questioning of the choice of Hong Kong. The first is that China is an enemy of the United States. It's not. I mean, there are conflicts between the United States government and the Chinese PRC government, but the peoples inherently, you know, we don't care. We trade with each other freely. You know, we're not at war. We're not in armed conflict, and we're not trying to be. We're the largest trading partners out there for each other. Additionally, Hong Kong has a strong tradition of free speech. People think, oh, China, great firewall. Mainland China does have significant restrictions on free speech, but the people of Hong Kong have a long tradition of protesting in the streets, of making their views known. The internet is not filtered here, no more so than any other Western government. And I believe that the Hong Kong government is actually independent in relation to a lot of other leading Western governments.
If your motive had been to harm the United States and help its enemies, or if your motive had been personal material gain, were there things that you could have done with these documents to advance those goals that you didn't end up doing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anybody in the positions of access with the technical capabilities that I had could, you know, suck out secrets, pass them on the open market to Russia. You know, they always have an open door, as we do. I had access to, you know, the full rosters of everyone working at the NSA, the entire intelligence community, and undercover assets all around the world, the locations of every station we have, what their missions are, and so forth. If I had just wanted to harm the U.S., you know, that you could shut down the surveillance system in an afternoon, but that's not my intention. And I think for anyone making that argument, they need to think, if they were in my position, and you know, you live a privileged life, you're living in Hawaii in paradise and making a ton of money, what would it take to make you leave everything behind? The greatest fear that I have regarding the outcome for America of these disclosures is that nothing will change. People will see in the media all of these disclosures. They'll know the length that the government is going to grant themselves powers unilaterally to create greater control over American society and global society. But they won't be willing to take the risks necessarily to stand up and fight to change things, to force their representatives to actually take a stand in their interests. And the months ahead, the years ahead, it's only going to get worse until eventually there will be a time where policies will change, because the only thing that restricts the activities of the surveillance state are policy. Even our agreements with other sovereign governments, we consider that to be a stipulation of policy rather than a stipulation of law. And because of that, a new leader will be elected. They'll flip the switch, say that because of the crisis, because of the dangers that we face in the world, you know, some new and unpredicted threat, we need more authority. We need more power. And there will be nothing the people can do at that point to oppose it. And it'll be turnkey tyranny.
Turnkey tyranny. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter who's in charge. It just goes from one guy to the next guy. And now we're to the point where people that are for Obama say, well, Bush did it too. And people that were for Bush said, well, Clinton did it before us. And people that were for Clinton said, oh, well, the other Bush did it before us. Come on, man. Let's take some individual responsibility over this. You say you're a liberal. You say you believe in individual constitutional or civil rights because you can't really get your head around the idea of individual or constitutionally protected God-given rights.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. Most of the people you're talking about are so caught up in the partisan nonsense.
Oh, before we went back on air, yeah.
Well, what you just said there, too, they identify with their political party and not with themselves. That they are their political party, and if you're attacking their guy, oh, well, don't attack my guy because Bush, blah, blah, blah. And even though Bush and Obama are doing, I mean, Fast and Furious is not something Obama invented.
No.
It's a program he continued. They changed the name, but pretty much everything else remained the same. I mean, the whole point of the program was to help with the illicit drug trade the CIA was running through that area and to do a psyop on the American people to brainwash them against guns.
Correct.
And Obama just took over the Bush program. The same thing with his NSA stuff. It was created back during Bush. It's been expanded now under Obama with the drone programs, et cetera, et cetera. That stuff has been expanded. But I don't know how you people who didn't like what Bush did with wireless, surveillance and spying on everybody,
Guantanamo Bay.
How you now justify your guy doing it? When their guy did it, it was bad, but now my guy's doing it, so it's good.
Where's the anti-war movement? We don't have one anymore because we have a Democrat in office. And to take you to a stupider place, but some people that I know personally in my family, there's literally no explanation for supporting Obama based on your principles, other than this is like the Dodgers versus the Giants for you. I mean, literally, like, I can get into that nasty shit.
Talk about a no-win situation.
Well, I'm a Giants fan, but, I can get into saying some really nasty things about Dodgers fans, and that's the only explanation I can come up with why you would still support Obama. You say you're liberals, and I know you. I know you well enough to know that you're liberal in the good sense of the word, in as much as it can exist. You are left-wing on your economics, but you do believe in classic liberalism when it comes to civil rights. But you'll support Obama because you're just so focused on the Democrats. The Democrats are better than the Republicans. Wake up and smell the coffee, man. It's really simple. They are exactly the same thing. The only difference is that the media pretends there's one.
And they go and they watch the shows they're on. They go and they laugh it up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You really hated these people.
Yeah, Jim Scarco and what's his wife's name? They're Republicans.
Mary Madeline.
Yeah, well, how are they married? I couldn't stand to be in the same room as James Carville if I was a chick. I'd never marry him. I mean, how are you going to do that?
For them, it's a game.
Yeah.
They're both players in the game.
Yeah, we're going to – they might have some little place in their brain where they still believe they're affecting a positive goal. But let's
I don't think
this.
So. I think
maybe
it's about power.
Little.
And we get to be at the big cocktail party.
We're important.
The fourth table away from the president.
Really all you are is just – cogs in a machine working for the Bilderbergs, and
that's what this guy was talking about.
Yeah,
he's making, think about it, he's making a good, I bet you he's making six figures if he's making anything.
I know he's making 200, so that's
okay.
Great,
yeah, that's considered high two figures. 200,000 a year, living in Hawaii, going to an air conditioned office with donuts and M&Ms and sodas and whatever else luxurious accompaniments you might want. Spy on people, do fairly little work. I mean, you punch up stuff on your computer.
Not as much work as an average writer for the New York Times has to do.
You don't really have to produce anything.
Right.
It's like when your boss says, hey, we want you to spy on this political such and such.
You're going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go home, like everybody else, after their 8 hours, and you turn on the TV, and you watch your favorite programming. And you try to forget your previous 10 or 12 hours of a day so you can get up and go back and do it again. This guy, making $200,000 a year with the prospect of making that and more for the rest of his life. Once you're in this kind of deal at this level, he's not going to go down to $50,000 a year. If he's making $200,000 a year now and he's 30 years old, if he's stuck with the program, he probably owns, some small little million-dollar company, and that's a small company in this game. a consulting company probably.
Mm-hmm.
And
so his only incentive to betray them is through ethics, morality.
His conscience got to
him. His conscience, ethics, morality. He's not going to listen to, it's my side, right or wrong. God, we're all going to go to hell if we keep thinking that way, people. You don't have to be a libertarian, but let's admit one thing. Republicans and Democrats are the same thing. They are a two-headed monster of tyranny.
The elected Republicans and Democrats.
What do you want to define differently?
Well, because the rank and file, like the voters, who they I vote for the people, but nine times out of ten, they vote for the Democrat. Well, I mean,
yeah.
How many people say, I vote lockstep Republican or Democrat? Everybody I talk to says, oh, I vote on the candidate. But nine times out of ten, they're on one side or the other. It's not 50-50 or 60-40.
Yeah, that sounds like crap.
Right. That's I want to say I'm fair and balanced, but I am a good Democrat. There's a lot of people out there that vote that way.
Yeah, you're right. I should say mainstream Republicans and Democrats, please wake up before it's too late for us. I mean,
but look at what the politicians have to say to them. Not so much the Democrats anymore. I think somewhere along the line they made a decision that the Democrat Party is just going to be a straight up socialist party.
Yeah, they're just going to appeal to lefties.
We're just going to be a socialist party, and we'll see how big it gets.
Republicans have a hard race because they have to try to be embarrassed by believing in things, the few things that they're right about. We actually think that you should have the right to carry a gun. Well, let's not say that too loudly because they're going to.
Because Madam Senator Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and Songbird McCain, they want to take your guns away.
Yeah, they're the same thing as the left-wing progressives.
It's just when they pull the WWE curtain up, they have a different costume.
Exactly.
But they still have the same goal, putting money in Vince McMahon's pocket and broadening the brand name. And that means disarming the American people before they can get too much further in the New World Order. Okay. Folks, we're it. We're the last line of defense before the whole globe is subject to it. They'd have already done it. It's subject to a New World Order. They'd have already done it if it wasn't for the armed American people.
Left of our philosophy. To believe in the individual.
Well, it's not even, philosophy, I think we have a different definition of that. I define philosophy as not only just the part where what do you think, in some libertopian world, what do you think X, Y, and Z should be like? Okay,
that's how you would define it?
No, that's not how I would define it.
Me neither.
That's, I'm not saying this.
Okay,
is,
okay.
I'm,
I'll let you continue.
That's how a lot of people use the term philosophical, as an almost imaginary, theoretical setup. I view it also as how you actually live your life. You can say I'm for freedom, but if you bow to the hat, like we talked about last episode, and you're a good little slave and you're too busy trying to pay the mortgage to figure out what the Federal Reserve System is, then you're part of the problem. And your philosophy, even if you believe in freedom, if your actions during the day don't demonstrate it, well, then you're philosophically not for freedom. And the American people who say they're for freedom, as soon as the government's willing to give it to them, they're not really for freedom. They prefer it to the present state, but they're not willing to own the responsibility of guaranteeing to themselves and their posterity a free self-government. And that's, I think, what this guy's talking about, where he says his biggest fear is this: all this news about the NSA, it comes out, people realize they're copying everything. Every phone call you make, every email you send, every Twitter post, every like on Facebook, every search engine submission, recordings from your cell phone that aren't even calls. So they pick, everything is being recorded and stockpiled in a massive database in case they want to use it later. The East German Stasi would have drooled over this.
Yeah, like Goebbels said, you have nothing to fear if you have nothing to hide.
And his fear is the American people will see this system, this monolith, and say, yeah.
It's like an elephant in the room that just kicked 16 babies in the head and nobody said anything. It's like, oh, we knew they were doing that, so who cares? You see the Limbaugh quote? I think you did, because I think you're the one that posted on my Facebook.
Was that really the quote from him? I just thought it was a funny picture.
I think you actually said that.
Yeah.
Kathy, my sister, thought that that was actually something he said. I don't know how, maybe we should research before we said
it. No, it's Rush Limbaugh. We'll just say we're on the air 3 hours a night.
He essentially,
we make mistakes.
Essentially said the only problem that I have with the NSA recording and everything is it makes those damn conspiracy theorists right again. And that pisses me off. You know, we are, some people in this room are conspiracy theorists. They're right a lot more than I'd like to think that they are.
Who's a conspiracy theorist?
You know, if it's true, it's not a conspiracy.
Well, if it's true, it's a theory either way. But the thing that I keep coming back to is I tried. From the day of 9/11, after Oklahoma, I knew, and Waco, I knew both of those were inside jobs, for lack of a better term.
Yeah,
there wasn't, that term wasn't really...
Because that's not exactly accurate, but it makes your point better.
That term really...
Saying.
Yeah, it was... I mean, I knew the ATF and the Clinton administration was behind sending a tank with a flamethrower into that church in Waco and shooting the CS gas in there, intending, and you can watch the videotape if you doubt me. Go watch Waco Rules of Engagement. You can watch the agents from their own mouth say their intent was to shoot CS gas legal by the Geneva Convention for the rules of war for foreign troops. Their goal was to shoot the CS gas into American babies and then start it on fire and then use machine guns. As people left the building, you can see the machine guns.
Actual machine guns.
In the hopes that the parents would take their children out of the building. Their motherly instincts would take over, and they would run their children out of the building. They didn't really say in the testimony that when they ran their children out of the burning building, after it had been broken in and made to look like an oven, they were shot with machine guns as they tried to leave. At any rate, I was aware of that. I was aware of really strange on the city. And when 9/11 happened, I was convinced as soon as I saw that tower, the top 30 stories start to fall off the side, and then all of a sudden the bottom drop out like a perfect smokestack controlled demolition. I was convinced that the story we were hearing was not accurate. And as I looked more and more into it, I tried to prove that the government story was correct. I tried to prove to myself, I had an internship with the federal prosecutor's office, right? Like this guy. He's got a $200,000 career.
Your incentive was the same as his incentive, which is to believe the government and to stay on their side.
Right. I mean, I wasn't making any money then, but I was on track with that particular position to be making a good deal of money.
Correct.
So I wanted to believe all this. I wanted to believe that, yeah, Chris Matthews, just he's wrong because he's a liberal and he doesn't understand economics, but he's not an evil piece of shit. And sorry, Proof, but I don't really consider that to be swearing when it relates to Chris Matthews. And the more I looked at that story and the more I look at all these other ones now, you can't prove their story because it's just nonsensical. And if you're in the business of being a reporter or you're in the business of national security and you see these people come out with nonsensical stories and you go along with it, well, then either you're part of the system or you're too stupid to realize the stories don't make any sense. And for the most part, I'm unwilling to believe that very intelligent people with all kinds of power that continue to get wealthy despite their screw-ups, they bumblefuck their way into billions of dollars at our expense. Oops, oops. Oops, trust us. Oops, trust us. Oops, trust us. They keep making out like bandits. Coincidentally, I just have a hard time believing that it's all just a screw up because they're so liberal.
And then I'll interject this and kind of go a little bit off point, but let's go back to that philosophical. Specifically, tackle you point by point because I'm not sure we even disagree. But I go back to that Waco thing, which I think is a monumental part of our American history. It might be the most important thing that's happened since the Civil War. Let's think about this philosophically, politically, political philosophy. What were the warrants issued for? Illegal weapons. Okay, by definition, there's no such thing in America. They can throw one after they killed a bunch of people and gotten a bunch of themselves killed that they were child pornographers or child molesters, but that's not what the warrants were issued for. We need to remember that, and let's also take it a practical thing, taking off the philosophy
plus,
angle.
Plus,
Let me finish.
The testimony they put in there about the child rape and whatever was demonstrated to be false. I forget whose daughter it was, but she was reading a statement that somebody else wrote for her, and like the girl in Kuwait with the incubators and the babies, the same exact kind of a deal. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
That's a really quick point. Also, let's remember the Davidians let the ATF, after having exhausted every round of ammunition that they had in their MP5s and their Beretta 92s, they expended every round that they had on their person, and the Branch Davidians let them walk away with their hands up. It's on YouTube. If they wanted to kill cops, they could have killed every fucking one of them.
Yep.
And you know what happened to them? I wish to God they would have.
They probably do too.
They had a chance to think about it as they were burning alive inside a church.
Well, there's...
Not that I have any great respect for religion, but I don't think you should kill people in churches.
Yeah, I don't care what kind of... If you want to believe there's a pink bunny that comes every 300 years and plants trees, and that's how we live, fine.
Exactly.
Live in your little community and worship the pink bunny. Don't harm anybody. We're not going to have any problems.
Yeah, I wasn't meant to attack religion. I said in a church, and I meant like giving it too much sanctity for my own concerns. But it was a freaking church, and they were burned alive in there after 90 days of being terrorized by federal agents playing these boots are made for walking. And that's just what they're going to do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. Is that how you're looking for your federal government to act in a police situation where there's a lot of danger and they're supposed to be public servants? They're supposed to tell people that they're going to get walked over by boots? And
while they're driving over the shallow graves of the people that were killed in the initial raid.
Yeah, this is exactly what our government should do. I thought this is what militaries do to each other in Apocalypse Now.
This is what kings do to demonstrate their power.
Exactly. And then Janet Reno's going to walk away like she's an advocate of peace and prosperity. And Clinton's going to be called, well, he only got impeached because he got a blowjob. He should have been impeached and hung for killing 90 people.
That's treasonous.
You take an oath to uphold and defend it, man. You don't get to say the Constitution's an imperfect document and we should change it. You don't get to do that, not as far as I see it. If you're going to do it, you sure as hell better do it constitutionally, like our forebears before that made an amendment against alcohol. As misguided as it was, at least they amended the Constitution, realized they didn't have the authority without that.
Right.
Now we just do whatever the hell we want, apparently. We don't need to pass laws. We don't need to declare war.
No, they're going to go after the people who leaked this information. I mean, not the guy who's hiding in Hong Kong. And I think you picked a pretty good spot. Hong Kong, like you said, has a relatively free internet. There's a couple of different layers of government there, with the Hong Kong island having some kind of degree of independence and an identity outside of England that it just became separated from, and far outside China. But also, it falls within the protection of China. It's not just some little island.
Right, England gave it up about 20 years ago, right?
I forget. It's some years ago, yeah.
I was a kid, so it's like 15 years ago probably, yeah.
And they, for some stupid reason, gave it up to China instead of declaring it independent. And now China has some protection over it, so they're not going to go and drone this guy without protection, although the Chinese leader is in having meetings right now with Obama and Bilderberg. And there's apparently stories out that a drone was used in that area in Hong Kong. Now this video is out. It doesn't do them as much good to kill him anymore. It just makes him look even worse if they kill him.
The few people in the government or around the government that are trying to protect our rights all go to jail. Everybody sits there on both sides of the aisle and goes, good.
We have a call here we're going to go to. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, what's happening?
What's up with you, man?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, fantastic. My name is Jamal. I'm calling from the Bronx. I heard what you're talking about, the drones, and, you know, it really gets my blood boiling, you know what I'm saying? But what I really wanted to talk about was the fact that the Nubian uprising in the streets of the Bronx and New York City and all over this motherfucking nation is going to be happening because the African-American nation, us brothers and sisters, We're going to be rising up against the white uprising who've been enslaving our motherfucking asses for so long because they've been paying us a pittance of what they fucking deserve.
I'm going to watch. I have a mute button, okay?
You can't say motherfucker.
I'll let you spout any crazy political theory you want, literally any crazy you can call in and talk about shapeshifters, okay? But you're going to, even though it's a midnight show, you have to watch the MFers.
He
hung up.
Oh, bummer.
I wanted to hear the rest of it. I wanted to know how I fit into this. Because
I don't think that guy's name was really Jamal. I just guessed it. I think his name was more like Jamie from Seattle. And he wanted to say some crazy shit. he was doing good. Call back. Just don't use the MF word. Just say, you know, honky. That'll work just as good. Call back, man. We missed you already.
This one here goes out to Jamal.
Or Jamie. From Seattle.
Too
many motherfucking copies.
Everyone who died on the USS Liberty, and whoever drew the short straw and had to listen to this program at Bilderberg. We'll be right back here on the Roundtable Group.
Man, you hear this bullshit they be talking? Every day, man, it's like these motherfuckers is just like professional liars, you know what I'm saying? It's wow. Listen, Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
I pledge no allegiance, nigga. Fuck the president's speeches. I'm baptized by America and covered in leeches. The dirty water that bleaches your soul and your facial features. Drowning you in propaganda that they spit through the speakers. And if you speak about the evil that the government does, the Patriot Act to track you to the type of your blood. They try to frame you and say you was trying to sell drugs and throw a federal indictment on niggas to show you love. This shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians. Look at their mansions and look at the conditions you live in. All they talk about is terrorism on television. They tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you their mission. They funded Al-Qaeda, and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Bin Laden was a CIA tactician, they gave him billions of dollars, and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11, that's just scratching the surface.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
They say the rebels in Iraq still fight for Saddam, but that's bullshit. I'll show you why it's totally wrong. Cause if another country invaded the hood tonight, it'll be warfare through Harlem and Washington Heights. I wouldn't be fighting for Bush or white America's dream. I'd be fighting for my people's survival and self-esteem. I wouldn't fight for racist churches from the south, my nigga. I'd be fighting to keep the occupation out, my nigga. You ever clock someone who talks shit for looking too wrong? Imagine if they shot at you and was raping your mom. And of course Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. We sold them that shit after Ronald Reagan's election. Mercenary contractors fighting a new era. Corporate military banking off the war on terror. They controlling the ghetto with the fear of attack. Trying to distract the fact that they engineering the crack. So I'm strapped like Lee Malvo holding a sniper rifle. These bullets will touch your kids. And I don't mean like Michael. Your body sent to the morgue, stripped down and recycled. I fire on house niggas that support you and like you. Cause innocent people get murdered in the struggle daily. And poor people never get shit and struggle daily. This ain't no alien conspiracy theory. This shit is real. Written on a dollar underneath the Masonic seal.
Now don't rap for dead presidents. I'd rather see the president dead. It's never been said, but I set precedence.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth,
City
nigga.
And welcome back to the Roundtable Group here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com, with your hosts, Sean Gruber, David Hart, and Jim Dunzing. David coming to us from an undisclosed location. Still have not procured audio to that undisclosed location as David continues the fight behind enemy lines as the broadcast continues from midnight Byzantium D.C. time all the way until midnight Sin City time. Before that break in, that caller.
That was funny.
Call on back, Jamal or Jamie or...
Jamal or Jamie. Maybe, you know, you weren't from Seattle. You were from Tacoma, Washington, probably. Maybe Kings County, you know. Lots of cows out there to keep you occupied.
Well, we could probably look up the number.
You call him back. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Ask his mother what he's doing up the
late. I'll have to start writing down the numbers. I just noticed the prefix there.
What the hell were we talking about?
We were talking about how this government, in the course of our life, has gone to just openly killing the American people and no semblance of any kind of accountability whatsoever. And they just decided to have this secret government start recording everyone's everything. No vote, no constitutional amendment.
No,
they were fighting to keep this information secret through multiple administrations of both parties. It's not a one-party issue.
We don't hate him because he's black, just so all my liberal friends know that.
He's barely even black.
Right.
Well, to be fair, I'm as red as he is black.
We're both
cynical.
I'm honky as hell, so I'm just honky. Go ahead.
I don't know where to go after your
idiotic
genealogy.
My dad telling me stories around the firehouse after quarters have become a big deal. He always insists with the new female firefighters and the black guys and the bad guys, he always insists on saying, "Pass me the honky bread." And they say, "Why? What? Honky bread? The white bread? Pass it to me." I don't know why that's funny to me, but it is. We have another caller.
Oh,
he left. God damn it, Jamal.
No, that wasn't. It was a different caller. It wasn't Jamal. Might have been calling back on a different Obama phone.
Calling from his lawyer's mother's upstairs office instead of doctor's father's downstairs office. That was the fakest black accent I've ever heard in my life. But he was doing it good. It was good. I'd almost do that. Man, I'll tell you what. What did you call? I don't know. No, not really. Sounds like Chris Rock.
Like an impression of Chris Rock. Yeah.
God, that bigot bastard right there. Oh, wow. We need to do what our daddy says. Oh, shit. Chris, I thought that the Constitution and the founding principles of this country were that our government was a server and not our master. No, we do what our daddy says. Oh, man, you made a lot of money, Chris. You're probably right.
Well, he's one of the guys that made a decision different from this Snowden fella that released this information.
Yeah, he could have fought against it and said, he went with it.
Why do you think, Dave Chappelle went to Africa?
And disappeared?
Yeah. He's got $1 million contract. The show we want.
That was a record-breaking deal, but he skipped out on it. It was like $16 million an episode. It was a 24.
That was the funniest thing on TV. It wasn't even close. I mean, it's not like it was like four shows in the running. That was by far the funniest thing on TV.
Chappelle's show in his prime was excellent.
I mean, they still run replays of it now. You see it for the 19th time. It's still funnier than the stuff you could see on ABC at 8 o'clock.
And to Chappelle's credit, he was a comedian. He didn't really want to make a point out of his political politics.
Right, he was just being funny.
If you want to do that, you can. I don't discredit you for doing that. If you're a musician, you want to be political, okay. But it's also okay not to. It's also okay just to be a person and keep your private life to yourself. And especially if you're stupid, you should do it. that was a hint to Rosie O'Donnell and a number of other people that we could probably name off.
Brittany,
I don't think she has an opinion.
Oh, no, Brittany came out on, I think, Larry King and said basically we should just trust Bush. She made the Chris Rock statement about Bush.
Oh, he's our father. He'd be our daddy.
I think it was actually very similar to that.
He'd be our daddy.
Yeah.
I tell you, I did enjoy that era when Brittany was not wearing underwear and forgetting to close her leg. There was quite a few pictures of that. I was like, hey, that's kind of cool. She showed off her vagina, but she didn't mean to, so she's not as big of a whore as the ones I usually date. It was sort of cool. Let's get back to something serious here. Before we go too far off the cliff and we can't. Okay.
You were talking about how Waco was the biggest event possible.
Maybe since the Civil War.
And why is it, I mean, once you can put Kennedy, you could put the attack of Pearl Harbor, you could put 9/11, why are you putting Waco?
Specifically, why was I? Just the point of
it's your show.
Of debate.
The people are listening to it. The people are listening to hear whatever. I don't know why, but they're listening to hear your crazy comments. So why do you think?
Because it was philosophically more important. Kennedy was maybe a couple of things that were probably good for freedom. I mean, he was a conservative Democrat, which could, in a weird way, almost be defined as a libertarian. But
on the money issue, he was libertarian. On the war issue, he was libertarian.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. I hated Kennedy until I met Jim, and he sort of put me on the trip to read what Kennedy has actually said. He's not a bad guy at all. He's not like his brothers. Not like any of them.
Not like Teddy.
Not like Teddy. Joe. Not like Roberts. Not like a lot of these guys. But I think philosophically, maybe philosophically is not the right word out. Is it the right word to use? But what you got out of Waco was the government saying, you have a constitutionally protected right to do something, but we'll kill you for exercising it. And we'll lie about it.
I think Waco was supposed to be, I mean, they practiced for it coincidentally at Fort Hood, the same place as that other shooting, the workplace shooting. They practiced for this raid with a little like 3/4 scale mock-up of this farm.
Yeah.
They practiced it. Now think about it. With just a basic amount of common sense about strategic planning. You're going to drive up a long driveway toward the church where you think the people have this Armageddon belief that the government's out to get them, and they're looking forward to hellfire and brimstone and killing all the devils before they go to the Holy Land. You're going to drive up there in cloth-covered cattle cars, pull up outside the door, climb into the window, armed with 9mm pistols.
And submachine guns. I think they mostly had MP5s.
I think the person that had the submachine gun was, I think officially that was going to be Davidian's fire. But there was video of it from...
Yeah, they had MP5s.
But what happened with there was a lot of them outside are standing there with pistols.
That's true.
The guy with the MP5 going up a ladder.
Those guys were the entrance team. The guys with the pistols were supposed to do the cuffing.
You see the guy go up the ladder. He goes in the little room. He goes in the room, turns around, and as the other guys go to go in the room, that's when you see the gunfire start.
Well, that would be going a little bit more.
All of those guys that died were on Bill Clinton's pussy detail in Arkansas. They were all Arkansas state troopers.
Really?
That had information. So I think, one, all of them were supposed to die. But just in case, our backup plan is your job is to go up the ladder and make sure these guys die.
I wouldn't go to that place with
that. Well, I've watched the video a lot.
I honestly think that they just came in there thinking these guys were gonna give up. And
well, why did they start shooting all of a sudden?
Probably saw someone armed.
No, they drove up and started shooting.
Because they probably saw someone armed.
They didn't see anybody armed. They started shooting through a closed door.
Right. The ATF's version of that is that Koresh came out with a pistol in his hand and said, leave. And modern law enforcement, that's not...
But that's not a true statement.
Okay, fair.
I mean, it's a statement from people who said so many different lies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen to Chuck Schumer. If you ever had a reason why you shouldn't like Chuck Schumer, he says that a flashbang grenade is not that big of a deal. Anybody that's ever seen one of those things go off in person, I'm sure Jim has. I know basically what the deal is. If you're in the same room when that goes off, if the room's small, you're unconscious. Those things kill about 15 people a year during SWAT team raids. If you're in the same room, the percussion of those things can kill you. They're called a flashbang grenade for a reason. They're just not designed to explode.
They don't have metal shrapnel.
Right. They're not explosives. They are explosive devices. They're designed to make a loud noise and a bright flash. It's
like
a grenade.
It's like shooting a rubber bullet out of a shotgun. You're still shooting a bullet out of a shotgun.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't mean to get off the track there. I don't think that that's, I'd never heard that before.
Well, it's the theory that I have. I don't think you'll see it on MSNBC, but I don't see a reason for them to come up to the doors and start shooting into closed doors with 9mm pistols if that's not the plan. And I think it plays into the strategy that we're going to go after more gun control. The police are outgunned. They already had all that.
That's accurate. That was already the
propaganda lined up.
Era 1993, which about 94 was when the ban got passed.
Right, and
on the ugly gun.
The gun ban went in right after all that, right? And so I think that was their plan from the get-go, was to have these guys slaughtered.
And they were shocked when there was resentment towards the federal government doing that. You can see it all over Lautenberg's and Schumer's face.
Oh, by the way, Lautenberg is dead.
Yes.
Burn in hell, motherfucker.
Exactly.
I just wish that the revolution happened before he died, so some justice could have been achieved in this life, although I guarantee you it will come in the next. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have coverage of a second Saturday event outside of police headquarters here in Sin City, and what a review of what happened this weekend.
Hold on, callers.
What do you want to play here? Oh, anyway.
Merle,
you think?
Yeah, where's all the freedom at that we're fighting for? We got to get some new selections in here.
New selections. Maybe we'll get some Sean Gruber originals here.
Oh, God bless us. I said the F word far too many times.
Perhaps you could do a song without that.
But I ain't as good as that old Jamal from the Bronx. We knew he was going to ride up here. What a honky motherfucker. Oh, sir, that, didn't mean to say the F word, all the MF would.
We'll be right back. Here on the Roundtable Group on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. This one goes out to all those who lost their lives in Waco and to the hottest fires in hell and Mr. Great Frank Lautenberg.
Where's all the freedom that we're fighting for? Is it still our creed from shore to shore? After a soldier fights, should we read him his new rights? There's not that many to read anymore. Where's all the freedom that we're fighting for? Where's all the freedom that we fought to save? Is it gone for good with yesterday? Hey, it ain't no fun around. It's the same in every town. Can't show the Ten Commandments anymore. Where's all the freedom that we're fighting for? My grandson done gone to battle, and I'm somewhere below Seattle. Can't afford to take my car to the grocery store. Where's all the freedom that we're fighting for? Our where's all the freedom that we're fighting for?
And welcome back to the Roundtable Group here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com, with your hosts, Sean Gruber, David Hart, and Jim Dunzing. We're going to cover this hour here, developments here in Sin City as it relates to Metro. We have on the phone Kelly from Cop Block, who was recently involved just this weekend in a rally this Saturday that was interrupted by officials from the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Kelly, are you there? Are you there?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so we were out doing what's called Second Saturday, which we've been doing different actions over the past, really about the past 9 months. And then over the last 3 months, we decided to do it at a certain scheduled day so that people would all know what time it was and everything. So we made it Second Saturdays, and basically we go out to the police station, and it's partly a vigil, it's partly a protest. People do different stuff. We have people do signs. We have people that engage the people as they drive by in the car, give them flyers, give them business cards or whatever, you know, with the Cop Block address on it. And so what we do is we go out, we talk about the people that Metro has murdered, which, you know, that includes Eric Scott, who they murdered at Costco, and then they called in their favors and had Costco make sure they lost the video of it. And then Stanley Gibson, who I actually went to high school with and who they murdered 2 years ago, and the cop that's murdered him has been on vacation since then. He's on paid vacation. And even though he was completely unarmed, completely innocent, hadn't committed any crime, they refused to prosecute Jesus Arevalo, who's the guy who murdered him, and then Trayvon Cole, who they claim made a furtive gesture, so they murdered him in his bathroom while he was on his knees on the floor. And we even do animals.
Out in the back of the head, the AR-15.
Yeah. But we do the animals. Where they, you know, they killed Bubba the dog. They have another dog they ran over intentionally with a car recently. And the thing about Metro is, in the history of the Metropolitan Police Department since the 60s, since that department was created, and it was actually created as a result of a controversial shooting that was supposed to solve all the issues with them not being accountable for shootings.
Yeah.
But they have never once charged a cop with shooting an innocent person. Not one time has there ever been a cop put on trial for it. So in 50 years, according to them, there hasn't been one unjustified shooting. And that's, I mean, even L.A., as bloodthirsty as they are, they'll actually put cops on trial when it's obviously, you know, a case where they shouldn't have shot somebody.
Well, but plus, look at the examples. There was a guy who was shot 14 times dribbling a basketball across Tropicana. There was a guy shot in handcuffs on Fremont Street.
Yeah, and
there was,
and they,
a guy,
you know, going
stripped the radio too loud. They jumped in the convertible and shot him. I mean, and
there's
right, more examples.
Yeah, if you go back to Eric Scott, you know, after Mosher shot him the first time, the other two cops unloaded their guns on him while he was laying on the ground to make sure he was dead.
Sympathetic shooting.
And, you know, they shot a monkey. I mean, fuck, they shoot. They're, when Metro shows up, their first option is to shoot somebody.
That's a great point. My friend, Marshall Speaks from Minnesota, made this point. He's like, and he's from the East Coast. He's like, in other municipalities, if you piss off the cops and catch a beating, here you get shot.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't even have to piss off the cops, you know?
Yeah, just be the wrong place.
You know, that's the whole thing is, Jesus Arevalo has been on paid vacation for over 18 months. So not only does Metro not prosecute the cops, they give them an incentive to shoot somebody. You know, they put them on paid vacation. And so we go out there every month, and we do the different things. But part of it is chalking, and part of the reason for that is it attracts attention. People see something going on, they wonder what's going on, they come over to look at it. And the other thing is it stays there, and people can see it, you know, a couple of days later. And if you stand there with a sign, you know, it's over in an hour, and then people don't even know you were there, you know. So that's why we found chalking to be really effective for that. So we've made it a big part of our protest. And we go out there, and we talk a lot of stuff. Usually I don't even know what I'm going to write before I get there. I just write whatever comes to me. But a big part of it is we recognize the victims, you know. And we write that out down there. We write RIP Eric Scott, you know, RIP Sammy Gibson. And we ask why Jesus Arvalo is allowed to murder somebody and just not only get away with it, but then go on vacation and get paid for 2 years for nothing.
If my understanding is correct, he actually got an increase in pay while on vacation.
But
yeah, I'm not personally aware of that, but it doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
I know the guys that shot Eric Scott got medals.
Yeah, they gave them an award for being brave, for shooting somebody on the ground. Yeah. And the other thing is they had two articles come out within the past month. I think it was actually within the past 2 weeks. The guy who shot an unarmed guy that was sitting in a car because he thought his hat looked like a gun. You know, he had a piece of metal on his hat and the glint off it made that guy think he had a gun. They said they recommended that he be fired, and the headline in the article was "An Unprecedented Move." The Metro Board recommends he be fired, you know. And then shortly after that, Gillespie said he was going to put Jesus Arvalo up against in the same board and recommend that they fire him. And it was the same headline. It was unprecedented that a cop would be fired. And it's ridiculous that it's unprecedented for somebody to be fired for murdering somebody.
Yeah, meanwhile, Nachovic, the head of the scene, he says in the same interview, didn't do anything wrong. Even though every single part of his plan, if you believe that nonsense about there being a plan to inject gas into the car, every single part of his plan is the policy and the law.
Well, yeah, and that was the whole thing. And I know you were at the police fatality review, whatever the fuck they call it now, that's created to do anything but make sure the details are made to the public, is to hide the details. But that was the whole thing, is one thing after another was what the cops did wrong and what was against policy, which putting tear gas in an enclosed space like a car is against Metro policy. But yet,
I don't think
nobody
good, and the alternative, everybody knows that Stanley's dead. And so, they were just going to get him. I guess that's okay.
Well, the other thing, you know, the other thing I noticed during that was when they were talking about the positioning of people, Jesus Arvalo was like, he was too far to the east, so he was in front of the driver window, basically. So he was basically in the wrong position, but he was like where he had a straight shot towards Stanley through the driver window. And then later he moved around to the passenger window. And it was like as if he was looking for a clear shot, basically. And his ex-wife said that he had told her he was looking to kill somebody so he could have free time. So basically, I think he was actually looking for an opportunity to shoot Stanley and kill him.
My gut tells me, not specifically Stanley, but somebody, because the kind of guy that tricks out personality.
His opportunity. He wasn't specifically targeting Stanley, but that was the opportunity that he was looking for.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he got fired. You wonder if he did get fired.
Yet.
Oh, he didn't.
Well,
okay.
The thing is, he's not even fired yet. They're recommending it. And then
they're going to recommend that he not be fired.
The unions announced they're going to vigorously defend him, you know.
The guy representing him is the former prosecutor. This justice system here in this county is so incestuous. Well, David Roger is going to be defending him.
That's one of the other things. At the time that Stanley was murdered, Rogers was the DA, and a month later he resigned to become the official lawyer of the union for the police. So, I mean, what kind of conflict of interest is that? He's negotiating with the police. There's no way he's going to put them up for charges when he's trying to get a job with them.
Great point. Let's say, for instance, that they have charged, have decided to terminate him. If he's ready for termination, shouldn't he be ready for prosecution? Not every time, but 8 out of 10 times.
But what are you firing him for?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, even if you look at it and you give him the benefit of the doubt and say, well, this was a horrible accident, if I was working at a meatpacking plant and I accidentally knocked one of my coworkers into the shredder and killed him, they wouldn't put me back on the job. You know, I'd be in trouble. I'd be in jail for negligence if nothing else.
Yeah, you're catching a manslaughter.
Yeah.
Metro's crazy, man.
If I was just like, well, that guy looked like a cow, so I accidentally threw him in there, you know. That wouldn't fly, you know. It wouldn't be a good excuse, you know.
Remember,
I'd be
like,
up on charges for something.
Years ago, when they killed a bunch of people driving through intersections without their flashing lights on?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing is they always talk about, because this cop, when we were dealing with him, he was even like, well, a lot of cops die, too. And, you know, that's part of the thing is a lot of cops were killing themselves with the way they were driving and running around without their seatbelt on at 90 miles an hour, cutting in front of people.
Not
arresting those people,
like,
and trying to tell their
helmet
around.
Like, my dad
tried to tell me, you know, the cops. Well, then he tried to tell me, you know, the highest number of people that died in Afghanistan are cops. And I was like, well, we shouldn't be in Afghanistan in the first place, you know. So you're
not
impressing me with that fact.
You're definitely right about that. But what happened, how did the confrontation today or Saturday start?
Well, so it was kind of – we had like just three of us there because I was doing a bunch of other stuff and I didn't really have time to promote it, and it was like 110 degrees, so that probably had something
to
do with it.
And it's also the Saturday after First Friday, so most people aren't thinking it's the second Saturday.
Yeah.
I think that actually got me.
So we
– that's –
Yeah, so we were actually kind of wrapping up. We were just going to do a little bit, and then we were pretty much going to leave. And he came driving in, and I didn't really pay much attention to it at first because we've had the cops drive by before. They, you know, they give us ugly looks and stuff, but they don't really do anything. And this guy stopped and came over, and I could hear him talking to Valentine. He was saying, "You don't want to shake my hand," you know, because Valentine refuses to shake hands with the police. But so at that point, I could tell he was, you know, basically engaging us. And so he came over, and then he was telling us that we're not allowed to do that, that it's graffiti. And he was trying to tell us that we had to leave right then, or he was going to write us up for it. And we told him we weren't going to leave, that we had every right to chalk, and that it, you know, it was protected speech. And at the, you know, after a couple minutes of that, then he decided he was going to write us a ticket. He tried to tell us to come over to his car. We said, no, we're not going to your car. And then he went, you know, he came over, and he was trying to tell us that it was illegal to use chalk, which is actually not. And they have a case in Orlando where a federal judge has ruled that it is protected free speech, and it's under the First Amendment rights. And so I was telling him that, and he was disagreeing. He's saying, well, I'm a graffiti – I work with a gang unit, and I'm a graffiti specialist or some garbage like that. And he
don't
went back
tell
to
me
the car.
I took a three-hour course.
Yeah, well, I forgot to tell him. You know, I forgot to ask him if the gangs are using chalk these days, you know. But I doubt that they do, but, you know, I haven't been around gangs in a long time, so I don't really know. They might be like, you know, paint might be expensive these days or something.
That's how you get yourself in, is you do a really good chalking job.
Yeah.
All the best gangs to do it. The kindler,
well,
gentler world.
We did have JR there. We did have JR there, who's an amazing artist, and he does great murals while we're doing our talking events. But he went back to his car, and he was there at his car for like 45 minutes. And what happened is he couldn't figure out. And we actually, Ballantyne called he called 311, which is like the non-emergency phone number for the police, and talked to the dispatcher, and she actually said to him that she didn't think it was illegal. So I think they said the same thing to him when he called in, and then he didn't want to come back and tell us that, you know. Because we were being, you know, we have the video, and we're
all those tapes.
We were really being, like, really antagonistic toward him. Because part of the thing is, when they're running around murdering people, I want to ruin his day. I wanted to make it the worst day he's had in a long time. I want him to go home angry. Because I want to shame them into actually getting rid of these cops that are murdering people, you know?
What I can't figure out, Kelly, is why these bastards can't find somebody that actually deserves to get shot. It's not that hard to find. You don't have to look that hard. Why do they have to keep shooting people that don't deserve it?
Yeah. Also before that, I had told him I wanted to be his supervisor, and he was a sergeant, and he said, "I'm the supervisor," you know. But he said he wasn't going to call a supervisor. So he went over to his car, and he's sitting over there, and, you know, at this time, we're, like, goofing off and laughing and, you know, having a fun time, actually. And when he finally came back, he started saying something about somebody in a red or gray shirt or something, which none of us had, so I don't know if he's, like, colorblind or something, but none of us had a shirt that matched that, so we couldn't figure out who he was actually trying to talk to, but apparently he was trying to talk to me, and he was saying, you know, well, I did actually call my supervisor, so you guys get to speak to him. And at that point, another guy had shown up who I assumed at the time was his supervisor, but I guess it was just another sergeant or whatever, another officer. But so then he went back to the car again, and he's, you know, back on the phone. And he came around, and he's giving us tickets. And he's telling us, you know, we're not allowed to draw graffiti. And I kept correcting him and telling him that we were actually drawing with chalk and it's not considered graffiti. And I made him actually say what he was citing us for. I made him actually say that we were drawing with chalk because I wanted that on record in case they, you know, we went down there with the charges of graffiti and, you know, they just disregarded the fact that it was chalk. I wanted it actually on record so that we could show them that we weren't doing anything illegal.
What statute did he cite?
It was like 240 something. I'm not sure the exact one, but
okay.
Yeah. Oh, actually, hold on one second. I got the ticket here, so I can read it. I can read this. Okay, so it's 10. Yeah, 10.44.100. And we actually did a chalking before at the Regional Injustice Center, and we got detained then, and a bunch of cops showed up, and they specifically told us that we could draw on the sidewalk, but we weren't allowed to draw on the building. Because we had drawn all over the whole steps and actually on the side of the building and everything. And at that time, they actually told us it was legal to do on the sidewalks, but that we couldn't do it on the buildings. So
okay, and all the Saturday was on the sidewalk?
Sorry, what's that?
All the chalk on Saturday was on the sidewalk?
This time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, everything was on the sidewalk. And
so they gave you tickets, and I don't see that that statute you cited. It doesn't sound like an NRS. I'm not sure what exactly it is, but
I might have read it wrong.
They gave you a ticket for writing with chalk on the sidewalk. I guess they're calling it graffiti,
yeah,
knowing it won't
yeah,
end up with 2 hours out
that's
there.
That's what
so.
The supposed charge is, graffiti. And then, like I said, when you see the video, it's actually really funny because we were really making fun of the guy, and this guy was having, like, the worst day. And, like, when he gave me his ticket, it said chalk, but it said C-H-A-C-K. And I was like, really, that's how you spell? And I asked him, like, don't you have to graduate high school to be a cop, you know? And
just barely.
And
you should have wrote chalk on the sidewalk.
Yeah, and then he kept saying, like, that's what the courts are for when we were telling him he was wrong. And I was like, no, the courts aren't just, you can write up anything you want as illegal, you know. The courts aren't designed for you just to write shit down, whatever you want, you know, and try to pass it off as we're breaking the law.
Theoretically, at least, for harassment of that kind.
Yeah. And then he was like, well, it's not my job to decide that. And I was like, no, you're a cop. It's your job to know the law, especially when you're trying to cite somebody for it. And I said, like, you know, if you worked at Dairy Queen and you didn't know how to make an ice cream cone, they'd fire you. You know, they wouldn't be like, well, that's what customer service is for, you know. But so eventually the lieutenant did show up, his supervisor. And so what the lieutenant told us is they called a DA and then they called a judge. So the 45 minutes they were sitting in the car, they were sitting trying to figure out some way to give us a ticket and not have to lose face by telling us that we were right, is what was actually happening.
So to avoid a malicious prosecution charge and still give you something.
Yeah, well, and he didn't want to look.
What's planned in response now? I know you guys are almost done editing up a video. What else you got going on?
Yeah, well, we actually have a lawyer that says that he'll defend us free. So we'll be fighting the tickets. And we do have the video almost done, so it'll probably be up, like, tonight, actually, probably.
Okay. So where can people go tomorrow to watch that video?
Yeah, the URL. Okay, he says that he emailed you a link on Facebook.
But you have your website is like copblock.com/Nevada or something?
Well, it's nvcopblock.org.
There you go, nvcopblock.org, and you'll probably have a link up on that page tomorrow?
Yeah.
Sometime tonight or so it'll get posted. Tomorrow, check on it, and you'll be able to see the video. We'll cover it here on Thursday. And Kelly, anytime you want to come on the show, you're welcome. Call on in. Anything else you want to add? Maybe talk about the next second Saturday in July.
Yeah, we'll definitely be out there. I'm not sure what day it's on, but it's the second Saturday. So, you know, we set it up so that it would be, you know, an easy to remember day. And we have nvcopblock.org, which we'll post the information for that. We also have a meetup group. If you go on our Facebook page, you can find links to all that. We have a website with sunsetactivistcollective.org, which the three of us all also belong to the Sunset Activist Collective. And we have the old occupylv.org, which usually announces all our stuff also. And I'll be pushing this on to the actual national CopBlock site. So CopBlock.org, I'm not sure what their turnaround time is on posting stuff, but within the next few days or a week, it'll probably be on there.
All right, but tomorrow go to NevadaCopBlock.org, and you'll be able to see the whole video, or I'm sure if you check my Facebook, you'll see it. Thanks again, Kelly, for calling in.
Hey, Kelly, one more thing. You heard anything about what happened to that one of those founders from CopBlock, the national organization that got shot 3 times for open carrying out in Missouri?
Jeffrey Winehouse?
Yeah, how's he doing?
I haven't heard anything recently as far as, like, his condition. I know the last I heard was He said that he had cameras in his car and that mysteriously disappeared. But
actually, they've got that audio of the accident.
I believe he's going to recover and everything. But they did, I mean, they shot him. They tried to kill him, you know.
Yeah.
And basically what they did with him is they supposedly set up a meeting to talk to him, or at least that's what they told him. And instead, it was basically like to arrest him. But it's not
execution.
When he showed up, they tried to say that he tried to pull his gun, and then they shot him, basically. You know?
Yeah, which is bullshit. They knew he carried all the time, and they knew they could get away with saying that.
Well, I also heard that the highway patrol out there has dash cams, so I don't know what happened to that video, you know.
Well, but like I said, there is audio. I don't know where the audio came from, but there's audio of the shooting where you can hear what's going on. And they don't ever say, drop your gun, put your gun down, don't reach for your gun, none of that.
Yeah, and they usually say that even if you're not reaching for a gun, just like so the bystanders will hear it, you know?
Exactly.
Great point.
I didn't hear that audio. Yeah, good point of advice is never meet the cops out in the middle of, like, a deserted parking lot.
Yeah, especially
you know,
if you're over
yourself.
Here and they're killing you.
Right. Yeah, that's not a good idea. So if the cops ever invite you to meet them in an open parking lot for no reason, they had a reason, but if they ever invite you to meet them by yourself in a open parking lot, don't do it.
Yep. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Kelly. And once the video's up and some more details, feel free to call in Thursday or next Sunday. Or, like I said, whenever you want to call in, you're welcome to call in. Thanks again for coming on and for everything you do in this fight, Kelly.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jim.
You got it. We're going to take a break here and come back here on the Roundtable Group. Here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. When we come back, Mr. Gruber is going to show me how to play this interview I haven't yet seen. I've only heard of on the kind of breaking news this evening of purported shapeshifter Alex Jones going on the BBC and making an ass of himself again. We're going to play that video here for the first time here and have comments and coverage of it, plus your phone calls. Again, the number to call in, 347-324-3704. We'll be right back here on the Roundtable Group on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. Radio www.freedomizerradio.com. You're about to hear some audio we have not yet heard ourselves of alleged shapeshifter himself, Alex Jones, on the BBC, purportedly making another ass of himself, discussing Bilderberg, which is going on over there in Britain.
Yeah, he's an ass.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
These meet every year, usually the very posh occasion, to discuss, well, who knows, because, as you've seen, it's all very hush-hush. Yes, include the likes of Henry Kissinger, the head of the IMF, and our very own Prime Minister, as well as Mr. Bowles, the PM, joined them for this year's top-secret tete-a-tete, which was being held this weekend in Lofford, anyway. That's where world domination begins. It's like Christmas for conspiracy theorists, including our Adam.
The masters of the universe and their critics have spent the weekend at Watford's posh Grove Hotel for the annual Bilderberg meeting. Could that be the Prime Minister? Is it George Osborne, Ned Balls, Shaver Wright? Is that the boss of Amazon or Google? Usually top secret. This year, the organizers have released a list of the roughly 150 people in there and the topics they've been discussing, including growth, big data, and current affairs. Jones, king of the conspiracy theorists. Are there any conspiracy theories out there that you think I should see enough? And I'm just doing extreme. Yeah, I don't personally think they're extraterrestrials. I know what some people say. It's scary stuff. But this protest seems more like a slightly weird party. It's a corporate megadeth. And making it seem circle. Surrounded by a ring of steel and a big, but fairly relaxed police presence, which Bilderberg veterans say is a big change. Well, I had a baptism in fire in 2009, just outside Athens, so I went along and tried to cover it and got everything. We've been arrested, we arrested. While for residents of Watford, it's a bit, so what?
Well, I heard it was a secret shadow government meeting. Haven't been held in England for a long, long while.
What do you think of that?
What?
Secret shadow government.
Sounds.
That's it, base. Very few of the 22 invitees from the UK wanted to talk. Well, I just managed to speak to a very senior Bilderberger on the phone. I asked him why all the secrecy, and he said until the 1990s he used to hold press conferences after every meeting, but no journalists turned up, so they stopped doing them. Then, as if by magic, a member of the organisation's influential steering committee turned up in the BBC's offices.
Informal discussion about politics and world problems with a lot of politics.
Talking about the
pandemic.
if you get to speak to some of your own radio show. Should we be worried about Bilderberg Group at all? It's kind of, I'm mildly interested in the Bilderberg Group, and it feels, doesn't it, when you were talking about it, I'm not going to film, started kind of out of date, it's belonging to the era when, when you couldn't even admit in Parliament that there was a secret, you know, when we called the head of MI5M or whatever it was we called them, we couldn't admit to these things. And so to the extent that it seems like
a lot of fire.
Not as bad as I expected it to be.
I don't think he was wrong.
Well,
he's pissed off. That's all that happened. These condescending statist pricks that tell you the official script of the story, they attack him basically like he has his moments of idiocy.
That's the part I saw, yeah.
But he was also right about a lot of what he said.
That's the Alex Jones contingent. He'll be right about 85% of stuff, and then throw in.
The other part will just make us all look crazy.
Well, I think he's putting out accurate information, but the way he's doing it makes him look like a crank. He doesn't need to look like that to put out the accurate information. They're going to attack him. They're going to do the hit piece. It's 3 minutes of a hit piece before it even starts. They've got the host. They've got another guest. He's outnumbered 2-1. You know the guest, the other guest, and the host.
They already
They're working off the same playbook. He doesn't have to play into it. Let's play.
But he doesn't know any better.
I think he does. Let's watch this second clip here. It's only 2 minutes, and let's see what this is. It's showing this BBC host and the other guest sitting talking. It appears to be off camera, or at least before the broadcast begins, from some kind of backstage location.
Jones is not on the seat he was in, though.
can make a different angle.
Chuck, if I can come in, please.
And so far, they played a minute 20.
Mr. Balls, can I shake your hand? Mr. Balls, can I shake your hand? Hey, I'm Alex Jones. I kind of like the registration. Why can't you guys talk about that?
The rules of these things are all decided by people been for a long time.
It is a corporate world government.
I've got to.
So that was Alex confronting a Bilderberger.
They're pre-prepped.
As one guest was leaving and Alex was coming on, he kind of tried to interview that other guest before sitting down. That's the whole episode, I guess, on the BBC. Kind of a non-event, in my opinion, but kind of more of the same out of Alex, more Pierce Brosnan type idiocy.
The other radio show that I do, he would say, he would talk about Alex Jones and he'd talk about Michael Savage. And he would say that...
Michael Wiener?
Yeah, same guy, right? Don't get me off topic, man. I'm easily confused.
I know, but that's why I don't like to use that stage name. I like to use his real name.
His real name, okay. Well, he says that the reason what they're doing, part of what the reason they're doing, this is my other co-host, is he says that it's because they're invested in the gold standard. And they're trying to scare people so they can make more money. I actually, that's probably accurate, yes, 100%. But I take it specifically what Alex Jones is doing. I don't think that he's crazy. I think he's on topic about 80 to 75% of the time. But the other part of what he's doing is specifically to discredit the freedom movement. I don't think it's to make money. I think it's to say a bunch of smart shit that everybody knows is basically true. I mean, why are we having a Bilderberg group meeting? What's the official justification of this? Are these guys going to invest in stock markets? I mean, they're playing water polo? What is this group?
It's just an informal meeting where we can discuss.
Oh, yeah. We can talk about how we're going to run the whole effing world and make everyone else all bitches. So, I mean, there's a legitimate question there. It's intuitively grasped by everyone that's intelligent enough to
listen to
this.
When I think that's Alex Jones's area, he's at the point where he's behind the movement. He's I think from the beginning, from when he came onto the scene, he's been behind the movement. Where what I mean by that is if the majority of people, let's say they really do, this conspiracy theory about the NSA spying on everyone is true, and they search for code words, and they do basically a huge Google search of the audio that you use on your phone calls, and they listen for key words to see how many people know about or are talking about key concepts like inside job, Federal Reserve.
Ryzen, Osama, bin Laden, terrorists, bomb, nuclear.
Right. How many people know about the Bilderbergs? How many people know about this Building 7? And Alex stays in that area, except for when he goes out of it, like he's doing here, personality-wise.
He's intentionally trying to destroy our movement, as much as we can call it our movement. I don't think either of us are going to agree with everything he does, but he's intentionally trying to discredit the freedom movement by believing in things that are obviously batshit insane. We're not descendants of lizard people.
Maybe you're not.
Maybe you're not. Yeah. That's why you can live by three bullets in the back. I get shot three times in the back with 185 grain gold dot ammunition, 45 ATP plus one plus P. I die.
What about 230 grain?
That depends.
the BBC guys there were discussing
mocking
whether or not Alex, because he's alive, was either wrong that there is no conspiracy to create a global government and enslave the world's population, or that he was part of it.
Right.
And there was a disagreement on the show. The one host, the one guy guest posing the question, thought he was wrong. The host apparently believes this crazy stuff is true and that Alex is a part of it. That host for the BBC, I think, is onto something. It's like the Glenn Beck ratio. Even a host from the BBC can be accurate. Now, why didn't Alex, when he's on this show, if he wants to be over the top, loud mouth, in your face, why doesn't he say BBC, Building 7, 9/11? You have video, BBC, saying the building has collapsed. There's the building standing in the background. What the hell was happening in your studio?
What did you know? When did you know it?
Right. There's not, this thing's not real. What's your part in it?
I follow your point.
But I think that's all we need to spend on Alex Jones, frankly.
Yeah.
We're going to come back here in the third hour with
Drunken Disorderly Hour.
With your phone calls, 347-324-3704. Again, that's 347-324-3704 here on the Roundtable Group on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. We'll be right back.
Keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes' pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe. You bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big B8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America, how do you like that name? The USA, and y'all can keep the change. Friends want to put me down, ask for my opinion, then twist it all around. Supposed to be talking about my father's new CD. Well, two can play that gotcha game, just wait and see. Don't tread on me. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know. America, don't you just love that name? I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep the USA and y'all can keep the change. Yeah, you can keep Boxing Friends and ESPN out of your homes too. Because Bo Cephas and all his rowdy friends and his song is out of there.
Welcome back to the Roundtable Group here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com, with your host Sean Gruber, David Hart, and I am Jim Dunzing. And I know several of you have been waiting eagerly pen and paper ready here for the beginning of this third hour. And again, I say these broadcasts are recorded. If you happen to not have your pen and paper ready, one, shame on you. Two, it's rebroadcast at the end of the third hour here at midnight local time. The episode is up for rebroadcast. You can search back and find almost immediately this message. Here we go. Alpha 64126. Alpha 64126. Bravo 41323. Bravo 41323. Charlie 18155. Charlie 18155. Delta 11102. Delta 11102. Alpha 64141. Alpha 64141. Bravo 41323. Bravo 41323. Charlie 18593. Charlie 18593. Delta 2174. Delta 2174. That concludes the message. Please take all appropriate action. I say again, all appropriate action. Mr. Gruber, I don't know how much you followed the Republican race in Clark County, but it's between, if you're not very familiar, Cindy Lake, who was the hardest working person, I think it's safe to say, in Clark County during the primaries, the Republican primaries.
For Ron Paul.
And she ran the meetup group. She was making phone calls several days a week. She was a delegate to national. She was between the 8 and the 12 elections, she was the secretary of the Clark County Republican Party. She became the chair in the 11 or 12 race. I don't know exactly. It's 12 now, like 13 now. Maybe I don't know if it's an annual thing, if she's been it for 2 years. I think she filled somebody's, like, an interim deal. She's been the chair for 8 months or so. And
it's more than that. I think it's 2011. I'm not sure, though. So
the debate, she was saying 8 or 9 or 10 months.
Okay.
So it's somewhere in that region. She's the lone, I think, Ron Paul person, pro-liberty person, not just Ron Paul, but Cindy has liberty in her blood. It's, I don't think anybody who knows her questions that. It's just part of who she is. She may not be the best political strategist, but
which she's, shifting for her.
Yeah, she's expending all kinds of energy, and for the right reason.
Spiritually.
And the Republican establishment is lined up against her. They're running a candidate they've imported from California. McKean or something is his name. His father is the head of the Armed Services Committee in Congress. The committee that the National Defense Authorization Act came out of. This guy is a legacy in this New World Order, and he was specifically tapped to come in and make sure that Cindy Lake is not a thorn in the side of the Republican Party. Now, what happened in 12 is because Cindy Lake and a couple of others were considered Ron Paul folks, most of those other people had been bought off, sold out, or frankly, weren't really in it for liberty anyway. They kind of liked Ron Paul's flavor of Republicanism, but they were much more concerned with their own personal power in a petty little party than they were about any kind of cause. That's not Cindy. They can't.
A la Joe Silvestri.
A la several people. And they can't change Cindy's beliefs that way. They can't make her say things she doesn't believe. She's not going to support. And she's for ending the Fed. She's going to say that. She knows 9/11 was an inside job. She's going to say that.
That's,
And so
she understands that Abraham Lincoln was not a good man.
So they're all lined up to beat her. They've put on a full court press to defeat one person.
Correct.
And I think they're going to do it. They've got this legacy come in there with the establishment behind him. They've spent 8 months attacking her, making her look bad. They went so far as to endorse Bob Beers, who is, if you don't know Bob Beers,
he
Bob...
He doesn't even have any fucking beer.
He's currently a city council member. He fell from grace. Used to be a state assembly member, ran for governor, and was thought at the time to have a shot at actually being the governor. The one Sandoval, Spendedall, won the primary. Beers ran against him and almost beat him, and went back to being an assemblyman. And during the 2008 presidential primary, not the 12, the 2008 presidential primary, he was the one who was chairing the committee. The most libertarian Republican in the state assembly, solid Ron Paul guy, just ask him. he decided to gavel the convention close once the Ron Paul delegates won the first four or five delegates to the national convention. Once they had changed the platform to include things against the Fed, I think against the war in Iraq, there was a call that came in from the National Party, and it said, if you're for McCain or you're for the Republican Party, you need to leave the floor now. And so those delegates left the floor. Bob Beers gaveled the convention closed. A couple of people from the executive committee came in, cleared the room, held another little meeting with nobody else in there. At that meeting, somehow they gaveled the convention closed, told everybody they're going to vote once they get back home. Just send us your votes and we'll tell you how it turns out. Well, the Clark County Republican Party, with Cindy as the chair, voted to endorse Bob Beers for the city council seat. Cindy walked out. She didn't have a vote. She only had the vote to break ties. She walked out of the meeting, but still a bunch of people who are good, solid, pro-liberty folks who aren't political animals don't understand the nuance of how it wasn't Cindy's doing because she's chair of the committee. We elected you chair of the committee, and now you're endorsing Bob Beers. And people like that, instead of coming out to vote for Cindy, they throw their hand up and discuss.
They say that Cindy Lake is the problem.
Exactly. And
she has no control over this matter. I think we know certain people amongst this group personally.
Well, and that's what they've done there. There was a debate this last weekend, Friday. And I don't think she won it. I'm a Cindy Lake fan. If I had a vote there, I would cast both of my votes for Cindy.
Well, if you were black, you'd have like 8 votes. Especially if you put like a bandana on and said you were a member of the Black Panthers, you can vote like 80 times.
I'm not sure I could do that in a Republican meeting.
Yeah, that's fair. Go ahead.
I just think she's going to be defeated.
Well, I hope not.
Well, even if she wins,
but if she wins,
she's up there by herself. And she's in this position where she's got to endorse, and it came out in this debate. She said, and I think it was the best moment of her debate, if you vote to raise taxes, if you break your pledge, we're going to run a candidate against you. If you vote to raise taxes and you're a Republican, if I'm the chair of the Republican Party at Clark County, I'm going to find a candidate. If I can help it, I'm going to do everything I can to find
make
a candidate
sure you lose.
To run against you. And this McKeon fella said something about SB 221, the bill set up to fail, the gun control bill with the background checks.
Universal background checks.
Right. They, here in Nevada, they sent it to Spendedall with the intention of him vetoing it.
So they thereby
political football.
Spendedall is for gun people having guns that they shouldn't have, right?
Well, so the left can attack Spendedall.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And the right can have something to say, see, our governor did something.
He vetoed this.
Yeah, he's a good Republican.
Yeah.
At the same time, he vetoed a raw milk bill that passed the House. They passed a bill legalizing raw milk this pro-freedom governor use of it. Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'd rather have guns than raw milk, but I don't know.
Why should we have to have that kind of a trade-off?
Exactly. Why should you have to make that decision?
And so it came up in this debate, would you vote against Spendedall? I don't think he's pronounced it that way. But would you vote against Spendedall if he was for a tax increase, as he was, but he voted to veto this gun bill? And Cindy remained silent instead of saying yes and twice on Sunday. And I think that will be her downfall in the campaign and the debate, a failure to bring that base to you.
My honest opinion on that is that I'm to the point philosophically where this is a gunfight matter, and the only person that I care about is people that allow me to buy more guns and more ammunition so I can shoot more federal agents or state agents or county agents or city agents. So I go for Sandoval.
Who are violating their constitutional oaths.
Correct. I have no intention to believe that this is going to be settled peacefully. I want to maintain my Second Amendment rights as long as I can so I can build my stockpile up higher. And I don't drink milk, so I drink beer.
But wouldn't you rather have a governor who supports people's right to drink milk?
Yeah. Yes.
Your right to own an MP4.
Which party ran that candidate?
Which candidate?
The one that says I can drink milk that's not pasteurized and I can also have real assault weapons.
I think it sounds like something Michael Benarek would have said.
I don't like that guy that much. I didn't like him the first time I met him. He was kind of a jerk.
But he was libertarian.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still
the last libertarian presidential candidate.
He just wasn't very nice to me. I don't know why. You probably do. You can suss this out.
All right, on that note, we'll be right back here on the Roundtable Group with your phone calls. The number to join us here on air on this international broadcast is 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. When you call in, you must press the button. I believe it's a 1. That'll indicate you want to be in the host queue. You'll go straight to the top of the list. Mr. Snowden out there in Hong Kong, you go straight to the top of the list.
Yeah,
Lucifer, Lucifer, if you're listening, I'm still waiting to see the Blumenthal emails. You know, you're releasing to TSG. They didn't release them to anybody else. You've got emails. The NSA apparently has this too. They're not giving them out. Lucifer, if you've got them, call in, post into the Freedomizer Radio. Let's see what actually transpired there.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. What's troubling you is the nature of our game.
We'll be right back here on the Roundtable Group.
The cop is a criminal.
Here on Freedomizer Radio. www.freedomizerradio.com. From the musical stylings of Sean Gruber to the musical stylings of John Neem.
I blame it on the Rolling Stones. Not my fault, I can't sing.
Here you go on the Roundtable Group. We'll be right back.
Lenin were here, he'd see things so clear, he'd know what to do, and he'd inspire you. He'd see through their lies, their terror disguised, he'd know what is hope, he'd know how to cope with you. If Lenin were here, he'd leave with no fear. He'd know that Iraq is just another Vietnam. He'd be at his best, singing songs of protest. He'd know who really brought the towers down. If Lenin were here, imagine if Lenin were here. Coming out to sing again and shout, but this time all his truth would be heard by different youth. Mind control, MK, it's the CIA. I would like to bet they still view him a threat. If Lenin were here, he'd see it so clear. He'd know all wars are money ventures. He'd be at his best singing songs of protest, and he'd be our own lie detector. But Lenin may fear he had to disappear so their lies could still be manufactured. Imagine if Lenin were here. Imagine.
And welcome back to the Roundtable Group here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. As we conclude the broadcast day here on Freedomizer Radio.
We drain beer.
The number to join us here on air is 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. There's a story here come out this weekend. Obama and Z, spelled XI, that's the apparent leader of the communist Republic of China, meeting, not holding hands, very close to holding hands, with the communist leader here from Kenya of America, Barack Hussein Obama de Mombas, meeting in Palm Springs. Let's see, this is out of the AP, so take that for what it's worth. It may not have been Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev's Cold War walk by a frozen lake in Switzerland, but President Barack Hussein Obama de Mombas and Chinese leader Xi Jinping, their 50-minute stroll through an estate in the California desert could mark a notable moment in the relationship between the heads of the world's two largest economies. At the very least, it was a rare opportunity for Saturday for the presidents to dispense with their advisors, coats, and ties in the scorching heat for extended one-on-one talks as they walked around as guests of the Bilderberg meeting over video teleconference, obviously watched by the NSA, who were able to contribute without even having to leave their command center. Tom Donilon, who you remember, was told by the Saudi Arabians to bring the Kenyan in, and that the Saudi Arabian was not going to be blamed for the Boston Marathon. Tom Donilon, Obama's national security advisor, who helped orchestrate the two-day summit, said the walk was an important moment to, quote, establish and deepen their personal relationship, whatever that means. He already tucked the British prime minister into bed. Now he went on a walk with on Air Force One. Now he went into a walk in the woods with this Chinaman.
What's up with Newtown?
To deepen their personal relationship?
Oh, boy, that sounds pretty
keen. It sure does. In California?
Oh, man, especially in San Francisco.
Well, they're not there yet. And address, quote, the range of issues that we have to address. Sounding like Jay Carney there. It's a big list that includes cyber spying and intellectual property theft and North Korea's nuclear provocations, as well as economic competition and climate change. I'm sure when they get together, they're mostly concerned about climate change. There were no policy breakthroughs as Obama and Xi sauntered across the manicured lawns of the Sunnylands estate as they picnicked barefoot. Oh, I don't know why, but most of these news services have this habit of refreshing. They don't refresh and put new information. They just refresh every so often.
So you can no longer continue to read from where you were at before.
Exactly. Climate change, blah, 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 breakthroughs, manicured lawns. Here we go. Obama had custom made as a gift for his Chinese counterpart. Let's see, what was it? Oh, the redwood. He had a Obama had a California redwood bench. Talk about a naturalist. Cutting down redwood trees to make a bench for the Chinese communist leader.
Well, it's understandable if you're a statist. You know, you have to compromise your total beliefs.
Obama doesn't have to compromise to deal with the socialists. There's no compromise involved.
I forgot what I was saying. You win.
All right.
Why the hell is Barack Obama cutting down any trees ever at all? Is it against his beliefs? Or maybe it's not.
Shouldn't they at least be recycled redwood?
I don't know. I think that mostly he just doesn't like free markets that make people have jobs. I don't think he really has a problem with destroying the environment.
I don't think he's even so much against jobs as much as he's against free markets.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you can have a job as long as it's a do-nothing job in a cubicle or you're selling...
as long as you don't produce anything.
Yeah, you're selling phones at one of 75 locations.
Something supplemented by the federal or the state government, that's fine. Yeah, we create jobs. We're the federal government. We just don't want anybody making any kind of technology up that's going to cash us when we're having the NSA steal your cell phone numbers.
Yeah, if you want to be a, you want to have a manufacturing job, like stacking Big Macs.
Go to China.
No, that stacking Big Macs is a manufacturing job. That redefined it. If you want to have that, that's okay. If you want to manufacture a phone the NSA can't spy on, not so much.
Go to China because we got to cut that deal there. It'll work out just fine for us.
The article here continues on the AP. That's all right. That's what people tune in for.
Yeah, me saying crazy Trump and shit.
The leaders did not shy away from differences, said Yang Jiechi, Xi's senior foreign policy advisor, adding that Obama and Xi, quote, blazed a new trail in the relationship between their countries, blazed a new trail and deepened their personal relationship.
Oh,
Kind
of getting me hot.
Obama and Xi held more than 8 hours of talks over the course of the two-day summit, which closed Saturday afternoon. The leaders found common ground in their frustrations over North Korea's provocations and on climate change, agreeing to work together to reduce the use of hydrofluorocarbons, a potent greenhouse gas used in refrigerators, air conditioners, and industrial applications. So this weekend, the Chinese government is putting ships and submarines and such off the American coast.
Because they're against very effective
hydrofluorocarbons. They're against styrofoam cups.
They don't like very effective mouthwash. God damn, I'm glad I don't pay attention to national politics.
It remains to be seen whether the private discussion that took place during the Sunnylands walk will land a place in history. I'm betting not. Like Reagan and Gorbachev's stroll near Switzerland's Lake Geneva during their first Cold War summit in 1985. After holding talks, let's see how accurately they cover this. After holding talks with their advisors, Reagan suggested to his Soviet counterpart that they walk together, accompanied only by interpreters, to a pool house in the lake for one-on-one talks. Gorbachev agreed, and the unexpected solo outing was seen as a sign of a warming relationship between the U.S. and Soviet leader. And during that walk...
I've heard a different version of that. I've heard it was the point where Gorbachev realized that Reagan, even being 80, we were still going to kick their ass.
Well, Reagan said to him on that walk that... what is it? We don't distrust each other because we are armed. We are armed because we distrust each other.
Right. And plus, America was right in that context. Now it's a real weird thing. We have to start to think, oh, shit, our president is a communist.
We have a Soviet system. We're under a Soviet system.
We
right
are,
now.
Yes.
Not we're building it. Not we're moving towards it. Not we're on a slippery slope down. We're in it.
We're in a statist left-wing environment.
You cannot do anything without a permission slip.
Without a permit?
Without a permit for a permit for a permit, and stamped, sealed, and approved by 8 different people, pay $1,000 worth of taxes before you can earn $5.
A lot of these mother effers that want to say, hey, we're America, live free or die. Give me a goddamn break. I mean, where's the freedom, to quote Merle Haggard? Why are we Connors, why are we submitting to the TSA searches? Why have we been doing this for 15 years? When I say we, I don't mean me, because I haven't done any of that. Why is that happening in a country that was founded on the principle of liberty or death? Oh, we need to sacrifice freedom for security. By what standard? By whose morality? Not mine. Maybe Chris Matthews, maybe Bill Maher. You know what I think is maybe we just tell them that I wouldn't go so far as to say they can't talk anymore, but I will go so far as to say they should all be shot.
So you're compromised.
Yeah. I'm literally saying, fuck these guys. They're traitors to our country. Let's kill them.
So, all right, well, let's call in then. 347-324-3704. In a second here, but I want you, when you call in, you can say whatever else you want, but throw your vote in here. Should we cut the vocal cords out of Chris Matthews and Bill Maher, or should they be fatally shot? Your calls will decide. We'll be right back here on the Roundtable Group on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com.
And we'll fire them.
Thank you.
and welcome back to the Roundtable Group here on Freedom Eyes of Radio with your hosts, Sean Gruber, David Hart, and Jim Dunzing. And there's a story here we've got here, just a few minutes left in the broadcast. Officially here, NBC News is reporting that the NSA mistakenly intercepted emails and phone calls of innocent Americans, and that Eric Holder deleted that information.
I believe that.
They're all honorable men.
Cannot.
No history of lying from the secret government or Eric Holder.
They are beyond repute. How can you possibly question Eric Holder's character?
They've already said, they've recorded every phone call made in at least 10 years. Recorded it and stuck it in a database.
If I had said that, you would have said something to me. I didn't even catch
it when
you said it.
They stuck it in the database.
They stuck it.
And the East German Stasi will get around to looking at it when they decide they want to make you a suspicious person.
Anyone here want to raise their hand and say we can trust our government? My hand is down. I don't think we can trust our government at all. When I say our government, I don't really mean that either.
Well, where's the accountability? I mean, if it were our government, couldn't we vote the bastards out? There's a 98%+ recidivism rate. Well, we even talked about it here. There's this kind of a split in the liberty movement. Do we work with one of the establishment parties and try to change them from the inside? Or do we work with a party outside of the system altogether? And there's positives and negatives to both. I think we're seeing with Cindy, and I don't think there's a harder worker in the Republican Party than Cindy Lake.
Plus, she's really pretty.
She's got a lot of positives going for inner office positions. But they lined up the entire national party structure against her as soon as she won.
They realized, oh, this girl actually means, hey,
she means liberty. She's not just talking about it to get a... They can't compromise with her because she's got nothing.
Like Rand said, with every compromise between good and evil, there is only one side that can win. There is no compromise with Cindy because she has no value to compromise you with. She does not want to win her office or her position at the expense of her principles.
So she's only got the office to advance her principles. She's
right.
Not one of the people that has the office, so she can say she has the office.
Right. She's not trying to make money. That's not what she's about.
And so I think we've seen what happens to people
she's
like that.
Lose.
We
she's
going to
get moved out. I hope that I'm wrong.
And there's a lot of work and fight and effort that goes into that. And what, at the end of the day, do we have to show for it?
Not a damn thing. You know what you should do, listeners? Buy bullets and learn how to use them.
But while we're discussing politics, if we're going to have a political front, I say I don't care which party it is. Frankly, most of the third parties have so many kind of odd personalities that are more part of the problem than the solution.
Yeah, I have a tendency to agree with you.
But we need, as a movement, to go to one of them, create another one. I don't care. Coalesce in a third party that means liberty, that talks about liberty, that puts up average people. They don't have to have 20 years experience in government. Who wants that anyway?
And that's against people we should elect.
We should pick people
that are new,
that have no experience in government, that are butchers and bakers and candlestick makers. Not
that rhymes.
It does.
Butchers and bakers and candlestick makers and all the things about God.
Right, it rhymes, and Sean can put it to song.
It wasn't a very good song.
It didn't rhyme.
It didn't rhyme. Well,
the part I gave rhymed. The part you made up did not.
Go ahead, Jim. Talk.
I think that's really our solution. I think if there's a political solution to be had,
there isn't.
Which you can argue that, but if between now and the time the bullets start flying, if we do our job politically, one, there'll be less people shooting the opposite way. More people shooting the same way as us, and when it comes time to declare the peace, we'll know what it is we're trying to get.
Fair enough.
And I think the average American that doesn't pay attention to politics. If they, a lot of people consider themselves smart if they watch CNN because they're.
Oh, I know, because they have this big.
Oh, I'm
watching. They're watching How I Met Your Mother. Jesus, I want Chris Matthews. Said, no, fuck you. You should watch How I Met Your Mother. You're gonna learn about how to bang Allison Hannigan. For Christ's sake, at least there would have been something prosperous out of that intellectual debacle.
I don't know who that is.
It's the girl who plays Willow on Buffy. The redhead chick. You don't know.
No,
goddamn incompetent fuck. You don't know who Allison Hannigan is?
Isn't Michelle Geller Buffy?
Yes.
See, I know that much. But most people who watch Buffy and maybe 3 minutes of CNN and think they know what's going on, they don't pay attention to politics except maybe a couple of weeks every other year.
I heard
or this, every 4 years.
I heard this one theory that in the average presidential election, which is 4 years, the average person only pays attention for 3 hours.
That's probably accurate.
That's incredible to me. I mean, goddamn incredible. I probably pay three hours of attention to every candidate from all five parties. And then that's like downsizing my concentration. I don't know.
Well, so if those people who only pay a very small amount of attention, and frankly, it's their fault our country's in the state it's in.
I don't
blame the evil. There's always evil people.
Yeah,
but they should be beaten down or pushed out of the reins of power.
I blame the
fairly easily. I blame the ignorant, the lazy, and the apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that only pay 3 hours of attention per election cycle every 4 years.
The presidential election, they only pay 3 hours.
How much do they know about what we think should happen with our government?
I don't think they're even capable of understanding what we're talking about.
It's not put forward to them. Politically, they have no. It's never brought to them and says, "Well, you have another option. You could go for freedom." That's never presented to that section of the voting market, if you will.
I mean, I would instantaneously respect someone that votes for Ralph Nader faster than I would respect someone that votes for Barack Obama. Because Ralph Nader, for whatever he is consistent in his own craziness.
Right.
He's challenging the status quo. How can you call yourself a liberal and vote for Barack Obama? Excuse me. How is
not,
that?
Not a peacenik liberal.
He's not a liberal.
Civil libertarian liberal.
He's left wing status.
Oh, George Bush was for Gitmo. George Bush was for spying.
And
George
Obama
Bush was for undeclared war. And Bush, or Obama, Bush, whatever his name is, has done the same thing.
Anything to stop it. You don't understand. Like 2 days ago, they had that. This picture has gone viral. It's a picture of George W. Bush combining with Barack Obama's face. I mean, I have personal family members. I've said about this before in like the last six radio shows. Like, I don't understand how you cannot get this through your head. Your guy is the same fucking thing as the thing that you're against, as you define it. You're not. If you want to be a communist, be a communist. Just quit being a fucking statist.
I think the answer was actually touched on by that guy we talked about earlier that you don't like, Michael Bennett. He made a speech, and
well, that was personal thing. I actually like the guy philosophically.
He made a speech to the National Convention 1 year. I forget which convention it was, but he made the point, and I think it's very valid, that most Republicans or Democrats or even Libertarians think they have some kind of private, silent conversation with their candidate. George W. Bush, for instance, will say something about closing the gun show loophole. And the pro-gun libertarian right will say, oh, he's got to say that so the Democrats don't win. So I'm going to support him because I know he's against gun control. He's just got to say he's for some gun control for it to pass. And the left the same way. Oh, I don't care how much he talks about, being tough on Iran. I know in his heart he's anti-war, and he's better than Bush. Tell me that's not what goes on.
I think you're 100% right. But But I mean, literally, when I scoff in my drunken stupor, or if I go to bed, I might almost choke on my own lack of ability to breathe. Give me a break, listeners. There is no difference between Republicans and Democrats. They are both statists. They do not care about individual rights. They do not care about the Constitution. They don't care about civil rights, economic rights, property rights. The only thing they care about is more power towards them as fast as they can get it. If you can't get that, I don't know what to say for you.
So, who do you support in 2016, Hillary or Jeb?
I support a massive nuclear radioactive fallout.
I'm not sure that would solve the problem. I'm not sure how much worse it would make it, but I'm not sure that would solve the problem.
I guess I support Rand Paul, which I
do. No, you do not. Do not even say that.
Yeah, that's going to piss you off,
You're within arm's reach. You cannot say that.
You want to know why? Can I give you my spiel?
Yeah, tell me why you're like the
biggest traitor to libertarian
clothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know who Al Greenspan is, right?
Yes, I'm aware of who
Al Greenspan
is.
Okay, Al Greenspan worked for Ayn Rand, was with her for a long time in the 60s and the 70s. He went into the Federal Reserve, and as soon as he left, within 4 years, our economic system collapsed to probably one of the biggest collapses that's ever taken place since the 20s. I think that he did that intentionally. I think that Greenspan was opposed morally to the concept of a Federal Reserve and a nationalized banking system. And I think there's a possibility that Rand Paul is doing the same thing.
Okay, hold on. Let me back up there a little bit, because Greenspan profited immensely and has made multiple speeches in favor of the system, trying to downplay his one statement he made half a dozen, 20, 30 years ago in favor of gold. The crash came after Bernanke was appointed.
Correct.
Bernanke, when he got appointed, said that he wanted to triple the money supply every year. That was his goal. He said it openly. He wanted to triple the money supply every year. The collapse, I think, was coming. It was to the point where
it was set up by Greenspan. I think he intentionally did it. Morally, I understand
that. Well, Bernanke,
I have
Bernanke's
books
the one
over there that I could show you where he says the state has no right to control the free market. You've read Atlas Shrugged, right?
I've read Atlas Shrugged. So you're suggesting that Greenspan...
He intentionally did it. That's exactly...
Intentionally destroyed the economy.
Exactly.
By making the bankers wealthy.
Correct.
The system is designed to crash every so often. It crashes so that the people at the bottom lose everything they've worked for their entire lives, and the people who can just print some more money keep raking in the real wealth. It's designed to crash every generation
and
a half.
Yeah, but it hasn't been covered. It's been over 10 years, it hasn't been covered, has it?
Did you read Bernanke's thesis about a jobless recovery? They picked him to manage the recovery.
Which is not recoverable.
They're not trying to have a recovery.
I'm not talking politics here. I'm talking about specific, effectual concepts of reality.
Yeah, exactly. The real economic facts. There's no recovery. They don't want there to be a real recovery.
You don't think there was a possibility that Greenspan was doing that intentionally?
No.
You don't think so?
I think Greenspan, you don't go to work for the Federal Reserve and do evil things for an entire career and make millions of dollars off of it. They don't trust you to be in that position. For you to, I mean, he hasn't done anything that's hurt the power structure of those banks.
Well, yes, he has, in a way.
What? They're more powerful now than they were 5 years ago.
Temporarily.
What do you mean?
I don't think it's recoverable. I think the economy, as we know it in this country, is irrevocably fucked. There's no way for the housing market to recover. There's no way for the dollar to recover its consistency. It's completely intentionally destroyed.
And I think the bankers want that.
And I think that Greenspan did that because he didn't. It's a theory. I know.
I know it's a theory.
I also have this.
Hey, we were going to let the Nubian guy go on about his theory.
Yeah, I probably just is out of line as well. I wouldn't be that shocked if Rand Paul, if there was anybody that could do it, would be Rand Paul.
Okay, if that's the case, why do you come out and say you're okay with Gitmo? Why do you make your fights about, oh,
and
I'm...
He's pandering to the conservative perspective.
For what purpose?
Well, that's the point. He better be careful. He's not going to get his father's vote.
He's not going to get his father's votes.
So he better be careful. He's
not after his father's votes. He's after a small number of those votes and the Rick Santorum contingent. And he's hoping there's enough of that group to put him over the edge.
See, I have a question about this to you. If Ron Paul was a pure libertarian, why is he saying that abortion should stay illegal?
I don't know that Ron Paul was a pure libertarian. I supported Ron Paul because he was against the wars, he was against the Fed, and he was against the police state. Now, if he were elected and he worked to end the Fed, end the wars, and roll back the police state, how much more can you really expect somebody to do?
Exactly.
But if you're Rand and you won't even speak for ending the Fed, you're for maybe a small audit with no teeth. You won't speak about ending the wars.
I follow you.
Your only problem with drones is that the Senate doesn't have a say. Not that there's
that's
drones.
A little simplistic.
That's
about
not
that.
Simplistic. His argument was the Senate didn't have a say. The president can do it by himself. He's not opposed to the federal government killing people with drones without a trial. He's for that, but he doesn't want the president to have the power by himself. That was his position. When he was up there, he's on some oversight committee dealing with Benghazi. Instead of using his time to find facts, to ask real questions of Hillary, he did a grandstanding political speech, which was great for his "I'm running for president in 2016. You're possibly going to be a nominee. Here's this video that I'm going to have in the bag where I'm pointing my finger at you. If I were president, I'd have fired you, blah, 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 blah." But he didn't say, "Where's the video? There was drone video of this attack. Where did you see it? Where were you when the video? Where is the video now? What did you know? When did you know it?"
Certain are you that he could have asked that question and there would have been video to be seen?
There is video. They've seen it. They've seen it in classified hearings.
Quite certain of it.
They've admitted it. They've admitted it several days afterwards. They saw the video in the Pentagon live during the attack. They just haven't released it to us. Because then we would see the CIA guys running through the complex. And we would say, if you've got all this on video, how come you didn't save the ambassador? Well, everybody in the stand-down room said no. Well, who was there? Well, Hillary Rodham, Benghazi, Bloodsport, Clinton was there, for one.
That's a great point, and I wouldn't argue with that.
But that's my point about Rand. He's doing a good job of riling up people. But if you look at the substance of what he's doing, there's not much there. It's all look at me, look at me. I don't like Hillary. I don't like Hillary. But
now,
where's the meat?
Let me ask you a question. If I'm in the mindset that we are going to have to violently overthrow our federal government, shouldn't I want Rand Paul to be elected? Because I'm going to get more time to be able to make some money and arm up.
Unless somebody I don't think Rand will be the presidential nominee. There's no way. I'm thinking it's going to be Jeb and Rand. The best way to run for vice president is to run for president. If Jeb is the foregone pick, then
you think that's what's
Jeb
gonna happen.
And Rand.
Okay. Well, I have a whole thing in my briefcase over there that you better against my brother-in-law, where you said that Newt Gingrich is going to get the nomination. You owe him $20, but we're not going to hold you to it.
And I guess there goes my co-host.
No, I'll be right back.
All right. You're listening to the Roundtable Group here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. The number to join us on air, 347-324-3704. We are almost out of time here in this broadcast. Join us
5 minutes left.
Join us next Thursday, midnight by Xanthium, D.C., for 90 minutes of update on the week's news, and then next Sunday from midnight by Xanthium DC time until midnight out here in Sin City, right here on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. Sean, we have about a minute left before we play our...
Let's talk about legal again.
All right.
The government has no authority to kill people that are constitutionally protected by their virtue of their birth to keep and bear arms.
As any crazy religion they want.
They can be as crazy as they want. They can have whatever kind of guns they want. And the federal government...
They can believe a guy was killed and then came back to life 3 days later. Whatever they want to believe. And he's a god.
Exactly. Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters!
I'm not sure the reference there.
I don't know.
All right, okay.
I don't want to sing Ghostbusters song. You going to argue with it?
No. I was hoping you'd tie it in with...
No, I mean, come on, man.
Dan Aykroyd's monologue, or I don't know what.
Oh, remember that Dan Aykroyd thing where he says, I don't think we can prove that there are aliens, but it's a good possibility that aliens exist, and they are breaking the law. Look that up on YouTube, everybody. Dan Aykroyd on Larry King Live about aliens. 9/11 is the tie-in.
Okay. I'm sure it is, Sean. Somehow, some way. I don't right now see it. I'll admit to that.
I like these next girls. I have my law.
Join us next Thursday and next Sunday at midnight by Xanthian BC time.
Later on,
right here on Freedomizer Radio for more of the Roundtable Group.
Goodbye, everybody. Our time has come. That would help me out.
Until then, keep your powder dry.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Constitution, while we still got guns in our hands, calling for.